Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you are with us this morning. We are, of course, covering a lot of stuff that's going on, not the least of which these awful wildfires out in California. I don't know. I talk to people who weirdly know people that either live in Pacific Palisades or near there, and it just seems like everybody knows somebody who's out there, and they have lost dozens of homes. A lot of them are actors, actresses you probably heard of who have lost these homes. We've covered a little bit of that this morning, and the question is, what happens next? I mean, we talked to William Lajeunesse earlier. He said that the fire danger is down because the weather's changed a little bit, but there are still fires and they're still fighting them. And they got firefighters from all over the place, different states and everything coming in to try to help with this. And I mean, I just can't imagine. I heard him say they're estimating billions, maybe $40 or $50 billion in damage from these fires. What happens with insurance rates after something like that? I mean, I don't know how you get away with insuring somebody at that risk level. Jerry Willis is covering that story for Fox this morning, and she's joining us now with more on that. Jerry, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you? Yeah, this is a tragedy on top of a tragedy, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, my mom owned a place in Florida for a while. Obviously, it was a condo. It was right on the ocean. They keep having hurricanes. Every year you go back to get your insurance renewed, and it's gone up again. And I know in some places, some companies had just given up and left the state.
Well, that's exactly what you've seen in California. State Farm, the state's largest insurer, canceled 72,000 policies last February. About 30,000 of those were for homeowners, not businesses. So folks found themselves without coverage in some cases. The state set up its own at-risk pool, but let me tell you, it's going to be a crapshoot to see what they can cover, how much they can cover. They only have $700 million sitting in cash in the bank. It's going to go nowhere, basically.
No, because a lot of these homes that have been destroyed are, what, $10, $15 million mansions?
Exactly. There are a lot of actors and actresses out there with super expensive houses. And you have the compounded problem of like an original group of people who settled into these areas who are, you know, cops and firefighters and waitresses and who are in housing now that is uninsurable, right? And they're not going to be made whole. Look, I've got an estimate from a company called CoreLogic that more than 456,000 homes are exposed here. The total construction, you know, reconstruction cost of those homes, $300 billion. So, you know, this swamps the state pool. This swamps a lot of these private insurers. As you know, this is the same problem we saw in Florida with the hurricanes, right? You're talking about your mom, but this is really, in some ways, on an even bigger scale. Let me give you an idea here. So the neighborhoods in the path of just the Palisades fire, and I recognize there are five fires, but let's talk about the Palisades fire. They have been hardest hit by insured defections. And that zip code experienced 1,930. This is just a zip code, okay? Experienced 1,930 policy cancellations between 2019 and 2024. That's 28 out of 100 policies. So basically, a third of the policies in this area have been canceled over the last, 14 months. So going and getting new coverage for most folks has meant, hey, I'm going to go to the FAIR program, the state program, but, you know, that's not really working either, right? They've got $6 billion in exposure, but only $700 million in cash.
I have to wonder then if some of these insurance companies that are still operating out of California would have to hike rates for those of us across the country because there is so much damage right now from all these fires in California.
Well, you bet. I mean, that's exactly right. Good insight. I mean, you'll see what will happen likely is that the state will require some of the private insurers in that area to pick up some of these claims, even if they don't want to. And then those companies will then raise the rates on everybody else who may be in a less exposed area. Maybe you're that person who said, I'm not going to live on the coast in Southern California. I mean, my risks there are huge. But you may end up paying more in insurance costs.
Well, it's absolutely insane. When I lived in South Carolina a few years back, they had something they called the reinsurance facility. And this was for auto insurance, for people who had a DUI or something and couldn't get regular insurance, but they had to get to work.
Huh.
So what they did was they added a fee on everybody else's insurance statewide to help pay for the reinsurance facility to provide insurance for people who basically were uninsurable. And so that's how they spread the cost around.
People hate that.
I know.
People hate that. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is pay for a service you're not getting.
Yeah.
Or pick up somebody who's abused the privilege and then pay their way. I mean, I realize, look, we have programs for people, and I'm all in favor of welfare and all the stuff we have. That's good. But when you do specific programs like that to pick up people who, you know, of their own volition created a problem.
Yeah.
I know folks get mad about this. I do want to say, on the basis of the insurers, there's a reason they're leaving, and it's because they're losing money, okay?
Sure.
I got these numbers from the Insurance Information Institute. Insurers paying out $1.08 in 2017 and 2018 in claims and expenses for every dollar that they took in premiums. So at that rate, you're losing money. You're not making money. And these private insurers just don't want to deal with that. I can tell you that State Farm and Allstate have stopped writing policies. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the future. But this is cataclysmic for the industry. And we've seen this before where, you know, all the private insurers retrench, mm-hmm. and it ends up being like these state pools try to make up the difference, and that's always problematic.
It really is. Jerry Willis, thank you for the time you've given us this morning.
Most welcome.
Appreciate it. Yep, take care of yourself.
Welcome.
We'll be watching on the Fox Business Network. She's going to be covering that story today. It's going to impact all of us, Kim. You're right. They'll spread that cost out. They're going to have to.
Well, yeah, because they can't eat it, because clearly, as Jerry just said, they've already been struggling and not making money, and I'd heard that's in part because of the regulations that the state of California had put on them, where they basically had, now I'm not saying insurance companies don't play dirty sometimes, but I will say it sounds like the state as a whole made it very difficult for a lot of these companies to operate, and they basically said, forget this, and
we're just
going to drop you.
We're not doing it. They'll come up with some sort of reinsurance thing, but every taxpayer in the state of California will be paying for that. They'll be subsidizing that. You know, this is a longer conversation, but we used to have this conversation about West Alton and some other areas that would repeatedly flood. How did the government allow people to continue rebuilding in a floodplain? Because you know it's going to happen again, if not this year, 5 years from now. At some point, you should become uninsurable. You shouldn't be allowed to rebuild in those areas. And people got very angry about that. But it's not everybody else's responsibility that you should be allowed to build in a floodplain if you can't get insurance to cover the damage.
I agree. But there's so many nuances with these policies, because I've mentioned this before. I covered a situation out of, I think, Nashville, where they had flood insurance because they were near kind of a creek that could tend it would overflow. And it came back saying, well, because it came from the ground up, you're not covered. If it comes from the sky down, like a hard rainfall, then you would be covered. So, yes, they had flood insurance, but because of the way the water came in, they were screwed. And so that's the other part of this. It's probably very frustrating for a lot of people who pay for coverage, and then they realize when it actually happens, actually, no, you have to pay for this out of pocket.
True. All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent. Lots and lots going on in D.C. right now with incoming President Trump. We'll cover all of it.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Come back. All right, former Senator Jim Talent joining us this morning. And Jim, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, lots of things, I guess, shut down today. The stock market, the post office, all in out of respect for former President Jimmy Carter, who's lying in state in Washington, D.C. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's very appropriate. I mean, these kinds of communal ceremonies remind us all of our history and our traditions, and we should participate in them. And that does not mean that we approve of the way Jimmy Carter ran the presidency or of his interventions, for example, in Middle Eastern affairs during the latter part of his life. It just means we have respect for the office and for the country. So, yeah, they're going to do that. And, you know, the eulogies are not going to go through a bunch of criticism. You know, if people want to read the best speech ever given in a situation like this, in my opinion, read Winston Churchill's speech to Parliament on the death of Neville Chamberlain. It's short. You can read it in 4 or 5 minutes. And wow. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it's really, really good. I may go back and reread that today. Just, of course, it was Churchill. Right.
And Chamberlain, of course, I mean, a lot of people had a lot of mixed feelings about him, but I'll have to go read that because I'd be anxious to see what Churchill said. I've never seen it.
Yeah. Let me know what you think. Text me or something.
I will. So did you ever have any interaction with Carter yourself, former president?
I did not. He was long gone by the time I went to Washington. I was a very young man during his presidency and shared, you know, the opinions of most Americans who rejected him after one term, right. And including many people who had voted for him and normally voted Democratic, which is why Reagan was able to win. And then, of course, President Reagan turned everything around.
I wanted to ask you to kind of take a left turn here. Trump is expected to be sentenced in that so-called hush money case out of New York tomorrow. And obviously he tried to get it, you know, pushed, and the judge said, no, you know, we're going to continue with it. Now, Judge Merchan has said that it's not like Trump's planning, to, you know, he's going to be sentenced to jail. What are you expecting out of this? Because now he's almost a sitting president,
they're
right?
They're absolutely desperate to be able to say that Donald Trump has been actually convicted of a crime. And evidently, Andy McCarthy's columns are very good on this. Prosecutors tell me, evidently, you're not formally convicted or it's not entered in the record of the courts until you're sentenced. It just shows the absolute derangement of this progressive segment of the American electorate, which is very small, but towards Donald Trump. And, you know, President Trump is fighting it. That's the reason he's here, is because he's a fighter. But I'm sure that, you know, the president's going to be focused on his agenda after this farce, is finishes tomorrow.
Former Senator
it'll get reversed. If the president wants to appeal it long enough, I think it will get reversed.
Yeah. Former Senator Jim Talent with us this morning. Jim, I heard the president-elect say the other day, if the situation in Gaza is not resolved, By the time I take office, there's going to be hell to pay, basically. A lot of people are wondering what he meant by that. But do you foresee an Iranian hostage-type moment here where something happens because they know they're facing a new and very different administration?
Yeah, it's possible, but I think it's unlikely. I'll tell you in a second what I think President Trump is going to do. Or I'm just guessing. Donald Trump did not call me this morning and talk to me about it. Hamas is, I mean, the Israelis have already, Hamas controls the hostages. Now, Hamas is subject to influence from Iran, which is a key to this. But I don't know what we could do that the Israelis have not already done. But I think what Trump is going to do, and I think he's going to do this for broader reasons as well, is he's going to put enormous pressure on Iran. And one of the things he's going to want Iran to do is to use its influence to get the hostages released. And by the way, good for President Trump, not only because we want all the hostages released, but because there was, I can't remember the exact number, I think it was 6 or 7 Americans taken.
Yes.
And it is an absolute sign of the bankruptcy of the Biden administration. I don't even think they ever said their names over the last 15, 16 months. These are Americans. And Trump takes responsibility for getting those people back. So what you're going to see, I expect, is enormous pressure put on Iran's remaining proxies, specifically the Houthis. I would not be surprised if the American Navy doesn't start targeting the Houthis the way Israel has targeted Hezbollah. But we'll see. Trump will have a lot of different options, and he'll choose the one he thinks are the most effective.
Yeah, maybe if nothing else, just releasing the reins on Israel, because the Biden administration has been riding them hard, trying to influence what they do, and Donald Trump might just be all in.
Oh, that's a given.
Yes.
I mean, I think you're going to see, because, first of all, I mean, there is a longstanding partnership between Israel and the United States.
Right.
But that partnership is based on common interests. I mean, their interests are our interests, and Trump is going to stand up for, going to help them because it helps us.
Yeah, it's a good point. Jim, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon. Former Senator Jim Talent. Great to get him on here this morning. I think that's exactly what's going to happen in Israel. And I don't know why you would negotiate with terrorists. I mean, that's why they took the hostages, because they knew that's the only thing that might save them. But if they don't strike a deal by January 20th, my guess is whatever's happened in Gaza so far might pale in comparison to what's about to happen. All right. Coming up, we are going to get to Kim on a Whim. Next hour, Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, joins us at about 8:20. We'll be right back.
I'm 77 years old, man. I can't walk up these hills. It's like Mount Everest there. It's like, you know, pretty steep. So, you know, it's just, I posted this on X, but Sarah was on with her 8-year-old niece last night. And she came out. I'm sorry. Just, you know. One day you're swimming in the pool, and the next day it's all gone. But she came out with her little Yeti piggy bank for us to rebuild our house.
That's James Woods, in case you didn't recognize his voice, the actor who lost his home, along with a lot of other people and a lot of other celebrities, for that matter, out in Pacific Palisades. And I play it for this reason, because Missouri, it's kind of embarrassing, but we're playing a role in this national tragedy right now. University of Missouri strikes again. Remember the woke professor down there who became famous on memes everywhere for screaming at protesters during the Black Lives Matter protests at the University of Missouri? Well, we got another one. And it just so happens her name is Karen. Karen Piper.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Her name is Karen.
It is unfortunate. So James Woods is an outspoken conservative. In fact, he's one of my favorite people to follow on X. And one reason is because he just slices and dices the liberals, and they hate him for it. Now, he's been canceled in Hollywood. Maybe Angel Studios would hire him, I guess, for movies, but nobody else will, because he's been outspoken about his dislike and distrust of all things progressive. He's been very outspoken against Gavin Newsom and other people in California, right? So here he's now a victim of this tragedy. I don't know how, I don't know if he lived in his house as long as, who just earlier lived there for 45 years?
Billy Crystal.
Crystal, right? I don't know. He's 77 years old. I don't know how long James Woods has lived in that house, but he lost everything. His home's been destroyed. He had to evacuate the area. And it's tragic. So what happens on X? Karen chimes in. Karen Piper, who is an education professor at the University of Missouri. Here's her tweet, which has since been deleted after 1.4 million views. James Woods' house is burning down. It's karma calling.
Ugh.
Is what Karen says.
Really?
This hateful, spiteful woman who is also a very educated professor, you could say, at the University of Missouri. Now, the university immediately condemned what she said and pointed out that she is a retired professor from the University of Missouri, right? She's retired, but she's not because she's still teaching. She's scheduled to teach one online upper-level class in creative writing in the spring semester. She has since issued a statement backing off what she said, that it was just a joke and that she's from California and she hates what's happened to people out there. But that tweet is going to live forever.
I had a feeling when people saw that Paris Hilton and Mandy Moore and some of these other celebrities who have, you know, multi-million dollar mansions lost everything, that they would make comments where it's karma, or, you know, oh, I don't feel bad for them. They probably have another home somewhere else, or they can afford to rebuild. And yeah, they have a lot of money and maybe they can afford to rebuild, but that doesn't take away from how devastating it would be to lose everything. These homes people have grown up in, they have memories. I mean, I was sitting there last night as I'm holding my son and I'm looking around his room and he's sleeping on my chest, and I'm thinking, if there was a fire here and something happened, what would I grab? And I'm looking around at the pictures in his room, his right. newborn pictures, and people are having to abandon their cars and run for their lives. I have chills even talking about it, because I just can't imagine in that moment having to make those types of decisions and knowing that you're going to come back to likely nothing. People like Paris Hilton, lover or hater, have some empathy that she supposedly watched her Malibu home burn to the ground on live TV. Can you imagine?
And to think that you would have any resentment toward those people just because they're successful. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, Carl, I think about our friend Skip Weber. He and his wife lost everything.
And
I
animals.
Had been at a Christmas party at their house earlier that year, I think, or the previous Christmas, and then their house burned down over in Collinsville, right?
Columbia,
sorry. And I mean, they lost all their mementos, their pictures, everything. Just
they had a
gone.
Chewbacca, and they had a Han Solo and carbonite.
I'm sure that's what they were the most sad about.
I was.
You know, Mark, I'm sure as a reporter, you've covered fires. And how often would we go cover these fires? The home is gone. The family's still watching it burn. They're in their pajamas because they had a run out in the middle of the night. They're crying and you're running up there trying to talk to them. And I just felt so dirty having to do that, because I knew it was my job. And I'm just putting myself in their position thinking, if a reporter walked up to me right now when I'm watching my home burn to the ground with all the memories inside, I would just want to yell at them. And I was so gracious how kind people were to me in that moment, one of the worst moments of their lives, and they're somehow kind to me.
Yeah, it's tornadoes, and we see it within a lot of destruction like this. So I went to this website called RateMyProfessors.com. I had no idea this was a thing.
Oh, I've heard of that.
But when I Googled Karen Piper at the University of Missouri, retired or not, it seems that a whole lot of people have kind of chimed in over the years about their experience with Karen Piper. And she was notorious for doing this crap in the classroom as well. She was a hateful, spiteful left winger who was an English professor and would spend time in her classroom showing videos and lecturing her class on politics. I'll just read a few of these. Most of them are clean. If you want to watch tons of worthless videos and have a demented left-wing kook lecture you on politics, lots of pop quizzes, and learn nothing of value. This is the class for you. I'm trying to be nice in my review. These are people reviewing Karen Piper. Spent most of our time watching YouTube videos, not a lot of learning, and she can be inappropriate, is another one. Yuck for this class was one of the simpler ones. This woman made us eat cockroaches during class, said another one. I don't know what that means. Very judgmental and actually did not hide the fact that she enjoys someone struggling because of differing beliefs.
How much money are people paying to take this class?
I was very pleased that I did not suffer for like other commentators about having to see too much skin. I have enough leather at home, is what one person wrote.
Gosh.
I'm just reading these comments here.
You know, there's also a website where I think people rank how hot a teacher is.
Oh, my goodness. She spends half of the lecture talking politics and forcing her beliefs on her students. If you're far left and work those beliefs into your papers, you'll get a good grade in the class. And a classic example of why tenure shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, I agree. The tenure whole thing really allows people to do a crappy job and they have job security.
And she survived it. Now, I don't know how old she is, but the school considers her retired, and yet she's still teaching classes at the university and making money off Missouri taxpayers. Wow. Karen Piper, University of Missouri professor, making us all proud.
That was not the teacher I had for my history of hip-hop English class. Was not her.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I don't recall that name.
No. Okay. She's been around for a while. Some of you might have had the original Karen there when you were at Mizzou years ago. Who knows?
OG Karen.
Her, Kim.
Yeah. No kidding. Kim, what are we whimming about here in a few moments?
Let's talk about this big move that St. Louis Post-Dispatch is making. They're no longer going to be printing locally. They're going to be outsourcing it to Columbia, Missouri. But that actually will have a change as far as the content that's in those newspapers. I mean, this is the direction we're moving here. Everything's going digital.
Go woke, go broke. We're back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Well, the end of an era. Monday's edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch was the last one printed locally. The Maryland Heights printing press closed after 146 years of operation. The closure impacts 48 full-time and 24 part-time employees who must now retire or seek new jobs. The shift reflects a broader trend as printing facilities across the U.S. shut down in response to the growing dominance of digital media. The Post-Dispatch will now be printed in Columbia, Missouri, and delivered daily by truck to St. Louis.
Fox 2, they're reporting about this big change, and that's really dumbfounding to me that somehow it's going to save them money to outsource printing to Columbia and then have a truck drive it in every single day. It's not like this is a weekly newspaper.
Is the local... I read the article, but I didn't see this mentioned in there. Is the local print operation union?
That I'm not sure of. I don't remember seeing that.
I mean,
the
it's possible because some of those people worked there for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cost issue. They tried to reduce staffing and all that, and they reached a point where the union wouldn't cooperate with them anymore, and they just shut it down. I'm not supporting that idea. I'm just saying that might have been what happened, and they were able to find somebody in Jeff City that said, hey, we can print that for you for a lot less, and they outsourced it. They've clearly got to cut costs because very few people have to be getting the printed version compared to what got it even 10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how often do you drive around, you know, when you're in a neighborhood and see people with an actual physical newspaper on their driveway? Like when I grew up, that was part of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, I would go out and get the newspaper in the morning.
Well, there's no way that you can sustain something like that just with business from local nursing homes.
It's true.
It's true.
They do love their hard copy of the paper.
Yes. It's just how they grew up of reading that, right? The Wall Street Journal, maybe the New York Times, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which is now should be called the Columbia Post-Dispatch because it's being printed in Columbia.
Well, outsourcing means they will not be able to include some of the late-breaking stories like they typically would. When you have a game that starts at 7 o'clock, their deadline will be earlier because, again, they're printing
it
in Columbia and trucking it into St. Louis.
So
you aren't going to have, for those of you who still appreciate get your hard copy of your newspaper,
you may want to get the app.
You won't have all the up-to-date information like you've been used to for the last 146 years since they've been printing out of Maryland Heights.
Cards playing the Dodgers?
Nope. That you're not going to have that. And you know, what's crazy, too, is 70-plus people have lost their job because of this, right? 48 full-timers, 24 part-timers. But they're saying they're doing this in order to save the jobs of more employees. So it sounds like times are very tough there, it sounds like, at the Post-Dispatch, and this is what they have to do to not have to lay off more people.
Well, listen, if you are mechanically minded and you're good at what you've done over there at that printing press and you think you could operate a snowplow, MoDOT could use some help.
They could. I hear they're probably hiring.
Future employment problem. I'm not celebrating the fact you lost your job. I'm sorry if you did. I'm just saying they do need skilled people at MoDOT these days.
I'd say so, based on the condition of the roads I've been driving on.
Mm.
Some municipalities may also be able to use your help driving a snowplow.
That would slow down the delivery of your newspaper. I had a neighbor briefly that was getting it. They don't get it anymore. I haven't gotten the hard copy of it in years and years and years. And I remember the last time we did, we were only getting the Sunday paper because that was the big one, had all the ads in it and all that stuff. And the subscription ran out and we didn't renew it. And they came back to us and offered it for like a dollar or something. I'm like, how can you even cover your printing costs at that point?
And gas. You have to have someone to deliver. You're not having the 10-year-old boy on a bicycle who's riding around on his paper route. You have to drive them because probably the homes that still have these subscriptions that are paying are miles apart because there can't be that many of them. I just think about the person who's getting their route for the day, who's driving around in one of these trucks, and they're like, sir, here's the 10 homes across the St. Louis metro that you have to drop off the paper at. I mean, seriously, though, how many people are still... Here's the nursing home you have to go to, and all 50 residents would like a paper. But aside from that, how many places are you really going at this point?
Yeah, it's true. I remember when I was still working in TV, and this must have been 98, 99. They flew us down to the Poynter Institute in Florida to... It was a journalism institute where they talked about things. And the big thing then was integrating television and newspapers and forcing the newspaper reporters to debrief on a television side and the television reporters to write articles for the newspaper side. And I got news for you. If you didn't go to journalism school and you don't realize this, people on the TV side of journalism are not long-form, proper AP-style writers. They're not. So the TV people hated being forced into that box on the newspaper side. The newspaper editors hated having to edit what they were writing. And mostly, not all cases, because there are clearly exceptions, newspaper reporters do not want to be on TV, or they would have gone through that side when they were in journalism
school. They feel like we're not doing a thorough job, which arguably really we're not. Right. That was the worst, after you'd have like a 12-hour shift and then they're like, Kim, you have to write your web story. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do. I just spent all day working on my TV story. And it was drilled into our head. You have to be so concise, cut the words out you don't need. You would get 60, 70, some of the TV stations I worked at would give me 70 seconds to tell a very complicated story.
Sure.
Hundreds of pages of documents, and somehow I have to whittle it down to a 70-second story.
You have a minute 10.
And now I'm supposed to write a long-form web story? No.
No.
Just pull my fingernails off now.
Make it conversational when you're doing it on TV. Very different than what they do in the newspaper world. So, I don't know. Best of luck to those Post-Dispatch printing folks that are now out looking for a new job in 2025. Coming up, we'll get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox and Friends, our Fox News Sunday, I should say. I'm sure she's covering these horrible fires out in California and the Carter funeral. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.